Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 237, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Mm-hmm. I think Kendrick mentions shared consciousness at one point on the new album. I mean, clearly a fan.
Yeah.
It is Monday, May 16th, 2022. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Lil Faceplant. That is from a tweet from @_HelloChrissy, who tweeted, "Your rapper name is Lil, and the last reason you were in the hospital." I took that to be the last reason, like I was injured enough to be in the hospital, which was a faceplant. Too drunk to put my hands down in front of my face and tripped over a fire hydrant.
Oh, shit.
Broke my orbital in solidarity with Joel Embiid.
Okay.
Anyways, shout out to _HelloChrissy.
Lil Faceplant sounds like a SoundCloud rapper, but in my mind, you had a tattoo of a plant on your face.
Yeah.
And that's why they called you Faceplant.
Oh, man. Going to work the next day and being like, I was playing basketball and fell down, didn't put my hands down. It was wild. It was off a dunk. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Well, I tumbled out of bed and stumbled to the kitchen. Realized a part of my life's been missing. Yawn and stretch and try not to wake my wife. After an hour, my stomach is rumbling. Out on the street, I'm searching for something. When they took it away, didn't want to stay alive. I'm eating 4 or 5 Mexican pizzas in one sitting. No more need to cry. Got a reason to keep on living. Shit, my car declined. Can I buy some more on credit? An NFT of Papa Jones is all I am left with. Okay, shout out to the fucking God, Christy. I'm a Gucci man who came through. It's been light out here in the streets. The streets have been waiting. Just like Kendrick, I said, when's the new Yamaguchi Mane fucking AKA dropping? And we were blessed with that. Obviously, we're talking about
Mexican Pizza the Musical with Dolly Parton. Shout out to you for that. I mean, that should that probably got to be in it. Obviously, the Popeye Jones thing, unless she also got duped by Popeye Jones into buying NFTs. It could be precisely from the.
I mean, you have most of you. You said it was your nest about egg. You kept using the word nest egg. Yeah,
I bought them
the Popeye Jones.
And I told him, you know, when the market crashed last week, I said, Popeye, what's good, fam? You said we're going to the moon with this shit, and he said. He said, who is this?
Who is this? Leave me alone.
Yeah.
That was an all-time great AKA. Would expect nothing less from a collab with Yamaguchi Mane.
Indeed.
The great pipes of Mr. Ken C. for Miles Gray. I mean, that put it on the, put it on the list of things people call you when you're entering a prize fight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you just got your eyes.
You just got that LASIK
up, tuned up.
Shout out the LASIK gods for blessing me with the LASIK. I'm not so I had a light prescription going into this, right? Like, you know me, Jack. When if anything's off with my body, like, I'm very aware of it. So when my eyesight started declining, even from like 2020, just slightly, I was like, no, everything's off. Everything's off. Everything's off. Yeah. And I've been like this for like the last 12 or 15 years, and then I got it. Yo, my eyesight, because my prescription is light, I'm seeing better than fucking 2020 right now. And I'm like the most insufferable eye egomaniac you've ever met right now.
It's wild. It's like talking to a kid who's like bragging on the playground. You're like, you know how like most people think you're the best your eyes could be is 100%? I'm like
170%
at least. Yeah. Oh, you thought 2020 was the best you could do?
Oh, which doesn't... Ted Williams batting 500. I'm batting 13,000.
It doesn't make sense to me, by the way. They need to just fix the fucking chart if 2020 is
well,
not
it's
the
just
best.
More that like what needs correction, right?
Got it.
And that's where they set the floor for 2020. Right. So shout out to my 2010 vision. Okay, see y'all later.
Damn.
Oh, the one thing though, I'm not gonna lie, is it's a super easy procedure. But when you can smell your own corneal tissue being seared with lasers, that's a fun little bonus to it.
Yeah, that's real mindfuck.
Yeah.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very funny comedian whose writing has appeared in McSweeney's and whose comedy has been highlighted in NPR, Vulture, the LA Times. He was one of Illuminative's 25 Native American comedians to follow. And you can see him at Elysian Theater in L.A. on Sunday, May 22nd at 7 p.m. Please welcome back to the show the hilarious, the talented Brian Bahe.
What's up? It's me.
Welcome back, Brian.
Lil Food Poisoning.
Hey, there it is.
Lil Food, a.k.a. Lil Food Poisoning in the building.
Happy to fucking be here.
Wait, where'd you get that FP at?
Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to Mexico, though.
Sent you to the hospital?
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
But I had a blast, you know?
Yeah. A Baja blast, some might say.
I wouldn't take anything back.
Okay, good.
Wow, even the food poisoning was, you would keep it.
I would keep it. It made it memorable.
Yeah. On a trip, like, I feel like so many people get food poisoning on a trip, but that's like the last thing you'll hear. They're like, yeah, look, I have food poisoning shout out to my one homegirl on her honeymoon. She had food poisoning so bad. She was on the toilet and she was getting sick and she like fully passed out, like heaving while on the toilet, hit her head on the counter and like had to go to the hospital because like did an incidental KO from a terrible bout of food poisoning. But then it was like, that didn't ruin the honeymoon though. And I was like, you are able to see the positive in everything. Bless you.
Yeah. I'm sure the ER was like, yeah, you're the fourth person today to come in for this reason.
They're like, yeah, you're on the toilet and then you started heaving and headbutted the counter in front of you. Yep. Okay, room 3.
That's like its own department.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the baby formula shortage, which is real. It's not like the eggnog shortage or the Christmas tree shortage or the other, you know, Fox News, local news created shortages. It's a real shortage. And we'll talk about that in relation to America being the worst rich country to give birth in and why it's about to become even worse. So we're starting things off in a fun place. We're also going to talk about where Biden's at heading into the midterms, what his battle plan is. We're going to talk about the perfect arrival time for an event. The Atlantic has a arrival time generator that I have found a couple flaws with. I'm just gonna say at the moment, they need to tune it up a little bit, like Miles's vision. It could be, you know, it's not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. All of that, plenty more. But first, Brian, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
All right. So I was searching Orville Peck Space.
Okay. Now, that's a country singer who wears a mask, right?
That's as far as I've gotten. Never heard. I don't think I've ever heard an Orville Peck song. I recognize the mask.
What?
Somebody was giving away a ticket to a show for free, I think. That's why I was like, can I go?
Yeah.
Didn't go.
Whoa. Oh, this. Okay. I didn't even know this was a vibe.
it's a whole ass vibe, Miles. You didn't even know it was a single vibe? Yeah. Yeah.
It's
a whole ass vibe.
It's okay, like Orville.
Almost like Sia in a way. What if it is Sia?
do people have theories about this, like who the real Orville Peck is, or is it this is probably just an artist who's deciding to do this to get some drum up some interest?
I saw one picture and it like looked just like a guy, but you know, who's to say?
Wait, just look like any old guy is what you meant?
It kind of just looked like a guy,
Okay. So we're not, there's nothing like super subversive. It's not Riff Raff the rapper out here, or you know, what other people think. There's all kinds of theories about this.
No scar, no eye scar.
Right. Missing like a nose, which seems to be the only facial feature that is not featured underneath the mask.
No eyebrows.
Right.
No eyebrows. You never know. I mean, no eyebrows.
Overplucking.
Sometimes that looks great. A lot of people can pull off the no eyebrows. So,
do you think Orville Peck is going to pull like an Aaliyah? Like get the mystery up. They're like, oh, what's going on behind the mask? What's with the mask? What's going on? And then take it off and then be like, nothing was wrong, y'all. I'm fine.
Did Aaliyah do that with her bangs?
With her glasses. She was always wearing glasses and covered her one eye. And everyone was like, what's up with her eye?
Right.
I remember it being a teenager, it always been like, yo, what's good with Aaliyah's eyes?
She's beautiful.
Like, this is my tag. Yeah. I'm stunning. Fuck
she's
you.
Like, it's sunny all the time. What do you want?
Yeah. Or maybe he's got terrible face tattoos.
Yeah. The eyebrows is an interesting theory because it is. So it's like a Lone Ranger mask with like a fringe hanging off of it. So like I could see that as like compensation for a lack of eyebrows, you know? Like he's trying
but
to
I'm
just
seeing
like,
some I'm seeing some eyebrows peek through in some of these other shots.
Yeah, maybe, but like isn't that what you would do?
Oh, fake eyebrows could be part of the mask.
Yes, thank you.
Oh,
Groucho style.
Yes. Okay, I like
that. Maybe he just wants you to envision whatever you want to whatever you want him to be.
It is brilliant marketing, shows incredible restraint, you know, and like foresight to be like, all right, so I'm about to become famous and I'm going to make it so that there is not a trace of my face on the internet.
Could I do this for comedy?
That would be incredible.
Does anyone do that right now? A mask bit?
No, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever done it? There was the masked rapper, right?
I mean, yeah, we got MF Doom. I mean, I think MF Doom was one of our most famous masked rappers.
Yeah.
And what, Cool Keith used to wear a mask too?
I think so. I think that's right. Ghostface originally.
But he wasn't really like hiding his face like that.
But that was the origin, right? Legendarily, apparently, probably apocryphal. But Ghostface was wearing a mask because he was wanted at their first show. And that's how he became Ghostface.
What came first, Ghostface the rapper or Ghostface the killer in Scream?
The rapper.
The rapper.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So he might have a case.
So there you go.
Yeah.
He might have to sue Dimension Films.
I mean, we should talk about the fact that the Kendrick album dropped. I mean, we've kind of referenced it already. It's a Lot is a double album at a time when that just means, you know, doesn't mean two discs so much as it means a lot of songs. And the track numbering starts over halfway through. It seems incredible upon first listen. And
I'm only halfway through it.
It's a lot to get through. But then Radiohead dropped a new album on the same day, kind of. There's a band called The Smile that is Tom York, Johnny Greenwood, and one other member of Radiohead. And it sounds like a Radiohead album. It sounds like I've only listened to a couple songs, but it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's, we're being showered.
Also, Chemical Romance dropped a new song yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. And then isn't there like another Taylor Swift album coming out? Because like I feel like music Twitter is like in so many camps. You're like, you either MCR, Taylor Swift, or The Smile / Kendrick. There's like so many verticals or parts of Twitter that are like, it's the best music time ever right now.
Mm. Yeah.
Summer. Who do you think is going to have Song of Summer? Oof. Taylor? Orville?
Who knows?
Orville Peck.
Orville Peck, yeah, let's say it right now. Orville Peck is coming out with something.
Nothing like a leather-fringed mask that says, you know, light and breezy.
Summer.
Barbecue.
Barbecue.
Do you think his mask just stinks? Or he's always got a new one. I feel like...
there's a lot of masks.
Yeah, okay.
It's not smelling like a mascot in there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Although like probably after a live show, I'm sure it smells a little bit like, you know, beer and sweat.
I'm surprised he doesn't get hella styes.
Right. Well, that maybe he does.
He stops wearing the mask and they're like, did you finally decide to share your face with us, Orville? No, man, I was getting terrible styes. my optometrist said I have to take it off or I could do serious damage to my vision. So
constantly. It's like it's easy to find out who Orville is because it's the guy with the stye.
Right, and the really specific tan line on his face. Hey, are you Orville? No, I'm not, man. Can you fucking leave me alone? Okay, just the styes.
So Miles, you flew to New York to get eye surgery. Speaking of styes, whenever I was in New York, it was the only time I ever like really on a regular basis got styes because I think it was just, you know, public transit and just the
touching my eyes.
I do like to give butterfly kisses to every, you know, hand holding spot on a subway train. So that could have been the issue. But
okay. Yeah. That was probably it.
I feel like there's a lot of stuff in the gets in your eyes in New York City.
And why?
So I'm just saying.
And why? Is it easy to get a sty in your eye? Let us know.
Or don't. You know,
Sty Twitter is popping up.
Yeah. Where's Sty Twitter?
Sty Twitter is
NY Sty Twitter saying.
Yeah, maybe it was an aside that I shouldn't have even brought up, but you know, it's
yeah. No, we're like, dude, you're touching your eyes too much.
I know, clearly. But then when I got out to LA, I didn't get any styes. So there you go.
You stigmatized
that dryer. Yeah. What is something, Brian, that you think is overrated?
Fridays.
Mm.
Ooh. Now you're saying this on a Friday.
I know.
Even though this episode's dropping on a Monday.
Yeah.
Tell us what. What's overrated about a Friday?
It's like I'm tired, you know? 6 p.m., 7 p.m. okay. rolls around. I'm like, I can't even like leave my home. I can't go out. I'm sleepy. I want to take a nap. I cancel plans. I'm like, I'm more down to do stuff midweek. I have more energy.
Mm.
Right.
Oh, so is that kind of, so I kind of identify with that where like Friday feels like the finish line. And then it's like, it's easy because I have the relief of saying, well, tomorrow's Saturday.
Yeah.
But right now I'm like dealing with the just barely getting to Friday energy.
Yeah. There's nothing left in the tank for me on Fridays.
Yeah. I feel like I love to just stay in on a Friday. I'm like, no, this is a good version of staying in on a Friday, but I'm wired a bit differently.
And it sucks because everyone else is like going hard and I'm like, damn, what are they doing different that I'm not?
Right.
Ignoring the pandemic? I mean, shit, man. I'm in New York right now. It's tight. Motherfuckers don't care about COVID at all. I'm like, wow, okay.
You're still in New York from eye surgery.
Yeah. I just had it yesterday.
And you can see already?
Yeah, shit was... Look, don't
I texted him right after the surgery, check on Miles's eyes, and he was immediately like, dude, I can see better than 100%. Like,
they tested my shit right after I got out the surgery, and I was already seeing slightly better than I did going in. That's after me having lasers on my eyeballs.
Smelling your corneas cook.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Only briefly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Yeah, but yeah, like I was walking around and I just like going indoors. It's weird because parts of LA indoors, people are still very like, I'd say you have like a 60, 40, 70, 30 split masked to unmasked places.
Yeah.
But here it's like 90, 10 unmasked.
To indoors masked. Too.
Oh, indoors. Yeah. Yeah. But wow. I mean, look, everybody has their own relative comfort levels. I know a lot of people I know like walk around with their like, well, I just had it 3 weeks ago. Comfort, like confidence.
Yeah.
So everybody's on different timelines for sure.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated, Brian?
Thursdays.
Thursdays. Hell Thursdays. Yeah.
That's my Friday. Thursdays is like, all right, I've had enough. I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. I got to like be really irresponsible. And that's when I pop off.
Yeah. I think our bodies are now like telling us as a species that it's 4 day work weeks.
That's
been plenty. We're ready to pop off on Thursdays.
Yeah. Like, I mean, is that like remnants from college?
Like Thursdays?
Yeah. Like I was going the hardest on Thursdays because I remember when I had the ability to like choose my schedule, I did everything I could to not have class Fridays.
Yeah.
And so that's why like Thursday, I was like, man, Friday is a recovery day. Basically Thursday is when I go hard.
Yeah. And then cut to Friday. Maybe that's why I'm depleted on Friday. Because if I just like held off a little bit, I could be out here with everybody on Friday.
Right.
You know. Maybe you don't want to. Maybe you're, you know, you're picking
Thursday, lines are shorter on Thursdays.
There you go.
Yeah.
Castles and Coaster or Six Flags or whatever.
How's like a Tuesday and Wednesday? How do y'all feel for anything happening then? Is Tuesday too like violently in the beginning of the week to do something?
No, I'll go out on Tuesday.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Like my only experience with like the, you know, New York nightlife, like I had somebody who worked next to me when I was at ABC News who was like went to the clubs every night that there was like a big night. And she was like Monday, Tuesday are the nights. Everything else is like so whack. And oh. I could not come close to like, I don't have the fortitude to do that, to start off the week hungover and then like ease into it. I need the sleep in. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, some people, they have to go out to feel alive, you know, mm-hmm. at a certain age. And at a certain point, like that formula inverts and you're like, I feel like I'm dying when I go to these places now.
I was in my early 20s. I already felt that way.
Yeah. No, I was the same. I was fully burnt out by 22.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't go to a club to save my life at 23, 24. I was like, I can't do this. My brain is damaged from partying.
Mm.
From college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. College, bad for the brain. Whoops. We've been saying it, you know. College, all you have to do is get that Wu-Tang double CD. You have all the education you need. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and we like to cover shortages here. We've covered the candy cane shortage, the Christmas tree shortage, the eggnog shortages of the past, and they were all bullshit. There is a legit shortage of baby formula right now, which for some parents is terrifying. Reportedly, 40% of formula is out of stock nationwide. You know, first of all, formula is controversial. I think a lot of people think you should never feed your baby formula. Parenthood is messy. You know, we went into parenthood being like, we're never going to use formula. Formula is bad. It has sugar and all sorts of bullshit in it. But you need to stretch that breast milk sometimes. You need to
Not everyone can work. Breast milk too.
Yeah, there's not so everybody can breastfeed. So
sometimes you got a job that you can't pump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like it's probably a minority of workplaces where it's like, yeah. And if you need to, there's like a place for, you know, people to pump and shit like that.
But
that's not the majority for sure.
Yeah. So people are asking what happened to the shortage? Can we just blame it on supply chain issues and call it a day? Actually, there was a recall of Abbott baby formula following the deaths of two babies due to a rare infection that led the FDA to investigate the plant, which turned up traces of, you know, a very unpronounceable pathogen. But worse is that a whistleblower tipped off the FDA about the conditions of the plant months earlier and they did nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, that's pretty standard American capitalism bullshit where, you know, the FDA, a government institution, is completely underfunded, completely toothless, and, you know, doesn't do shit until it basically is going to hit the company's earnings report at some point. But like a whistleblower, you know, that's not going to be on the top of the pile.
I mean, Abbott's doing fine. Dude, their fucking home COVID testing business has taken the fuck off. So I'm sure in their minds, they're like, bro, we can absorb,
you know,
dead children lawsuits, sadly, because, I mean, so many of the telemedicine tests, a lot of the popular, one of the very popular ones is made by Abbott.
And that is a calculation that businesses, lawyers, corporations have lawyers do for them. Like, what would the lawsuit cost us? And then what would it cost us to make this improvement, this safety adjustment that's proven?
How much can our profits offset?
There's also, what is it? It's like on-demand supply chain things, because of the pandemic, people hoarded formula in 2020, so the demand fell and suppliers cut back production through 2021, and now there's demand again, but they haven't been able to ramp it up. But that's,
which was the same thing that happened with like appliances and a lot of other things, right? Because of the pandemic, where it's like, well, people aren't buying it, so let's not go too hard on manufacturing it and then cut to, oh,
right.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. That's a trend in manufacturing where you never manufacture a surplus. It's just always like, as demand spikes, you just have to like hire a bunch of people really quickly and do it because it costs money to like store stuff. That's been a new trend that the only downside is it makes life hell for sometimes consumers in this case, but always your workers.
I wonder, is there a way to like make baby formula, do you think? Like DIY?
Like at home?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I saw on Twitter, I mean, again, I would take that with a grain of salt, but I did see a lot of like people on activist Twitter like sharing information on that. Now, again, I have no clue how.
Yeah. You know, and like, I wonder if like, if you just look at the ingredients, like, could you reverse engineer baby formula?
One thing I remember from when we were doing it is that the best baby formula like is illegal in America. There's like all these German.
I just want to say this. A lot of people said there's a lot of discussion about this and a lot of people say they want to discourage that. But it seems very contentious. But
the homemade baby formula?
Yeah. They like, I think, you know, I see it on a few different news things where their pediatricians are like, it's I would advise against it.
Okay, never mind.
I would never be able to figure out how to make it, because if you've ever smelled baby formula, it is the stinkiest, worst smelling shit. And like, if I arrived on that by accident, like DIY, I would be like, oh no, like I better just throw this out before like anyone smells it, because it might harm them. Like baby formula like makes me gag when I'm like mixing it. Well, it's a bad
baby
smell.
Formula, not grown Jack formula.
I know, but I'm just saying there's nothing intuitive about it that is like, this would be a good thing to feed to my child.
Yeah. It probably smells like steak to the babies.
Right. It smells steak, and babies aren't huge fans of medium rare steak, which steak I found out the hard way.
Smells like baby formula.
So I was talking about the German baby formula is like better because it doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it. You might be surprised to learn they're still putting high fructose corn syrup in America's baby formula. So we were like trying to find a way to order baby formula from Germany. But when you do that, that's when the FDA fucking swings into action and suddenly acts like they exist. Because of America's trade policy, there's a number of European baby formulas that are banned in the U.S., even though they meet most of the FDA national guidelines. And it's basically like most U.S. brands wouldn't pass the European regulation because of their ban on certain added sugars.
Right.
And the FDA loves to seize that shit like it's a drug shipment. Like, and then, yeah, they're
really
strict. Or
it's not labeled properly.
Yeah, okay, but what else? That's their thing.
Is
it not labeled. Yeah. Like the labeling thing is not anything other than like it doesn't tell you the iron thing. It's like pure bureaucratic bullshit that is hiding underneath it, like a bunch of lobbying by American companies that don't want their market fucked with.
Which is odd too, because like it's funny, like on the other way, Europeans like, we're not gonna poison our people with Mountain Dew. Fuck out of here. Right. We'll not sell this garbage in our within our borders.
Yeah. Another thing the babies aren't as big a fan of as I am. Yeah. Mountain Dew.
But then I also like, I know like there's like French cough or French cold medicine that my mom bought like once and forever. She's like, that shit works better than the like American medicines and stuff. But I know there's a lot of debate over like things that are prescription versus over the counter in both in like these parts of the world. And that's when the FDA is like, oh, you're just letting people take care of themselves without getting their health insurance involved? Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is a real thing that parents are dealing with. And I would say like I would not suggest telling people to just breastfeed because not everybody has that option. And it's...
Seems like people are acting like that is the only way.
Right. Yeah. It's very much like coming from the, you know, concern. So like I wanted to tie this to just the general state of having children, giving birth in America, because I think a lot of people have talked about it in the aftermath of the leaked Roe decision, but there are studies, there's one in the AJMC that found that among 11 developed countries, the United States has the highest maternal mortality rate, a relative undersupply of maternity care providers, and is the only country not to guarantee access to provider home visits or paid parental leave in the postpartum period. And it's, we're last. America is last out of, you know, a bunch of Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, and the UK. America comes in dead last.
Right.
For, you know, the healthcare of women who are having children or who become pregnant, and then of the children, of the like children immediately after they're born. There's just like fewer options because America is built to take care of corporations and not human beings.
Right. And they do I mean, this kind of speaks to the sort of all the disconnects we talk about, right? Because at one level, if you work in like the service industry or something that's like hourly, you're not going to have benefits like that. As you move up the class rungs, if you have a good job at, let's say, like a tech company where the HR is a little more forward thinking, you might have benefits that resemble something closer to humane treatment. But then that also puts people in this reality where they're like, oh, well, I have that at my job. Other people must have that too. Not realizing that the further you go down, the more hostile and, you know, just inhumane the treatment becomes, such as like, yeah, if you're working at McDonald's or something, there's not going to be like, oh, yeah, here's your paid time off because you've just had a child. They're like, oh, he's had a child. OK, when you come back in.
Right.
And it's so crazy that like hospitals make money, you know,
right,
like
right.
It's like what they that like shouldn't even like be a thing. I feel like I saw a tweet or like somebody said this, but like people are like, hospitals are just like giving like C-sections to when giving birth because it's apparently like cheaper. And I'm like, that's so crazy.
Yeah. I think it's more expensive, but like a better deal for the hospital and better, right. More profitable. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's I think there was I'm looking at like an article from 2019 that was saying a doctor and an economist note that doctors are generally paid quite a little bit more for a C-section.
Right.
That's like really fucked up.
Yeah. And it's something that's consistently happening, like apparently in the South too. It's you know, a plague apparently, according to this other headline.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a thread from a doctor in Alabama saying that like Alabama is a great example of what will happen when Roe's overturned. And yeah, we're already like living in a dystopia, and a lot of the states are worse than people realize. But people like this doctor talks about people, you know, coming to the emergency room with, you know, a miscarriage and being turned away. And, you know, at first the doctor thought it was because the patient disclosed they had a medication abortion and were thus treated poorly. But hospitals and their physicians are willing to violate the patient's rights in order to avoid a feared potential for prosecution, essentially. So, like, already in Alabama, because it is already, like, abortions are banned by the Alabama state constitution. It's just that they're not really allowed to go full guns blazing in light of Roe, but that's about to go away.
Right.
Oof. So, yeah, it's bad. And then just, again, in the that's not the solution category. So this physician writes this long thread about how bad it is in Alabama and how it's an indication of where things are going. And somebody with a username that includes GQP are seditionists and I stand with Ukraine came back and said, doctors need to leave these states.
Okay. Cool solution.
Yeah. The original poster, like, there's a lot of people saying that. Like, why would you ever go there? Like, what are you doing?
Because that's that lib way of thinking where you also do a thing where it's like, oh, it's the South. They're not human either. Leave that place. So there's just as guilty of those aren't people thinking as the right is.
Yeah. I think this is that, you know, watching from a distance and assuming the solution must be easy because your life is easy and you sleep easy, like type shit that we talked about a lot when we were just analyzing NPR Voice and like where why people need their news of the end of the world told to them like a bedtime story, like with a like ASMR voice. Like I think this all kind of ties together, that it's just like, well, it's easy, just like move out, and like get out of there. Like my first reaction is like, oh man, like how do we get doctors to move to these places that need them so badly?
Right.
And you know, that's obviously easier said than done. And like, that's why I didn't put it in a pet tweet, like move there, doctors. You know, yeah. Like, I don't want
put yourself at risk.
Yeah, for
unnecessary prosecution. Yeah,
to go to jail. But I'm just confused how you ever land at just leave that situation as the solution to the problem.
Because then if there aren't enough doctors, then eventually someone who's in a position of power will have a tragedy, and then they'll realize what's happened and they'll wake up and they'll realize the error of their ways, I think, is how that thinking goes. Well, then you don't get doctors, and then you'll figure it out. It's the same way like with the power outages in Texas.
Right.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't have voted those people in. Not, oh, when are these people going to get their power? Like, yeah, well, maybe if they don't have power long enough, they'll start voting the right way.
Right. Yeah.
That's not how it works. If anything, you create a vacuum for some creep to come in and explain that X group of marginalized people is the reason the power went out.
Right.
You know, and that's usually the cycle that we see with our politics.
Yeah, it feels like, what is it? Like, is it reverse gentrification, like, the right thing? I don't know. Like, when, if you're just, like, telling everybody to leave a place, it's like, okay. But
that's easy for you to say.
Yeah, it's...
just like that, huh? But again, there's a lot of takes from people who speak just so narrowly from their own perspective and what options they have on the table, with absolutely zero thought going into what do people have the same options as I do?
Right.
It's really crazy that like that type of thinking still exists. You know, it's like if that's like your like off the cuff response to something, like how are you like navigating life every day? Like, are you just like operating from like such like privilege that like you feel like you're like, you probably think you're like living a great like altruistic life or whatever, but it's like, no, you're kind of like making things so much worse for everybody.
It's ignorance, it's willful ignorance, or maybe it's not all the time, but it's from this like perspective of like, oh, we live on a piece of bread that's rotting, but the mold is on that side of the bread and I live all on the other side of the bread.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to get to me, but that's not how mold works. That's not how rot works. It will eventually take over the whole thing. And I think we're only in like the last couple weeks, we saw with that Roe leak, people were like, oh my God, reproductive rights actually could affect me now. Don't right. mind all the other people who have had restricted access or, you know, criminalized healthcare in the country that have been activists have been saying this is happening in real time, but it's only now because that rot has come within view of these people's homes that they're like, oh shit, this is bad. And I think this is the same reason why now we're seeing, you know, Joe Biden and the Democrats rely on their time-honored strategy of using existential dread to motivate people.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's done now. He's out here now saying things like referring to like the great MAGA king. And Trump. And
did he
like,
pull that from like, season one of that? Like, is that a Yellow King reference?
I have no idea what the fuck that is, but that's the energy. There's like this, there's this article in the New Republic. It's like an op-ed that has this, the whiniest like defense of Biden pivoting to saying, well, if we don't win in the midterms, you're going to get more Trump. And that's that. I hope that motivates you. Just like in the author writes, Biden's low numbers are seriously unfair. Huh?
Not fair, not fair, not fair.
Seriously unfair?
Yeah.
That is such a white people concept. That's seriously unfair.
No way is this a white man, Miles.
It's not cool. It's not cool that his...
seriously unfair. You don't, that's not an option for a lot of people to be like, this is unfair. Most people are living in seriously unfair as their reality since the moment of their birth, and that's all they know. However, he goes on to say, the numbers are seriously unfair. He's managing quite expertly Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Okay, what, billions of dollars going to defense contracts? Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, yes, their you know, national security is important, but also the country is also in free fall. The economy, despite some nasty inflation, is booming.
All right.
Huh? For so, who? Go.
Yeah. What? Like, give me the indicators that make this a booming economy.
The line went up, and I had, dude, some of the stocks I own are fucking doing wild. Don't worry about the unregulated crypto market where a bunch of like bystanders probably took a terrible fucking financial bath.
Nasty inflation is so funny too.
It's just a nasty case.
I got a nasty cough, but otherwise I'm feeling great. I'm thriving.
And then they said, talking about then passed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill on which Trump could never get Congress to move. That is, even if he tried. And for those who care, not everyone does, the deficit's gone down. Biden restored the sense we lacked during the Trump years, that the government is operating in a reasonably orderly and ethical fashion. None of this has gotten the country to rate Biden the superior president he so obviously is. Yeah, that is such a... Come on now.
It's just like he's better than Trump, and so those are our two options.
It's like it reads like, what else can he do, guys? Tax the rich?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck is he supposed to do?
Right. Yeah. Like, what do you mean? And sadly, though, it may work, this tactic, because more voters than not are looking at this, you know, rightly so, that this is an existential threat from the Supreme Court that's constantly there. But I don't know if there are going to be enough people who are also marrying that to what's going to happen? What's our future? What does our future look like? Don't just say, dude, look, fascists over there.
Yeah.
What's the future? And you look at, so like, you know, the one of the advisors of the AFL-CIO, he said, is describing what's happening is, quote, what Biden is finally doing is trying to alert people to what's actually at stake in American elections.
Yeah.
And talking about how this has been a huge motivator. When you tell people about the terribleness of the Republican Party, and you know, this article points, it worked in the 2018 midterms where the turnout was higher. It worked in 2020 in the presidential election where turnout was higher. But like, many people are well aware of the very bad things that are on the horizon. Like, we're not looking for a fucking PSA about it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's about
offers,
to not work. Sorry. Like, I just,
offer
I just
a solution.
Don't. Yeah.
It's yeah. Like the bar is so low that like the only thing that like tips anybody like in the favor of like Democrats is like, hey, at least we can't do as bad as like the last administration. It's like that's really bad logic, you know?
Yeah. But you know, this is the problem, because now we're, you know, they're playing politics, not protecting people.
Yeah.
And that's all. It's always clear when someone's doing that, when their interest is in protecting people or if their interest is playing politics. And it just, you know, it just reminds me again of like what Katie Porter said last week, like that her colleagues' minds were blown when she got emotional about buying groceries. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Is it like bad out there for like poor people?
Right.
Like bacon's like too much to buy? Huh. It's not in the polls. It's not in the polls is what they say. Little do they know there's a sycophantic industry of consultants that's built around people showing you polls that will help you feel better about what's going on.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that is the whole infrastructure is like built to kind of keep the current status quo and values in place, like from the polling to the lobbyists. Right.
Yeah. And I don't want to hear about somebody telling me like what the stakes are when like your Twitter avatar looks like you're like on Walden Pond.
Yeah, the writer of the
your
Republic picture,
and you're just having a nice white wine on your deck every night to take the sunset in.
There is so much white wine energy with the whole. I mean, the NPR thing really felt like when we were just listening to that. I felt like every person who was describing, you know, giving us the story of a war crime, but like through the lens of NPR voice, like sounded like they were doing it over a glass of white wine. This person who wrote this definitely has a glass of white wine in their hand. I have nothing against white wine or wine drinkers, but it just feels very much like...
Well, because it evokes the idea of carefree people who are speaking from a reality that is so disconnected to everyone else's. Like,
buttery shard. This is a great buttery shard. Thank you.
Has self-care gone too far? I feel like this person, like the person you're describing, they're like all about self-care and they're just like, this is, I need self-care.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, it's like he got into self-care the same month he was trying to reckon with his like white privilege.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I need to take care of myself. Actually, this is too much. This is too much to think about. This is too much to consider.
Yeah, I mean, this is all the same story, right? Like the person who told the doctor that they just need to leave those states to die, like leave the poor people in those states to die, had GQ Pierce, seditionist traitors, I stand with Ukraine. Like we talked on yesterday's show about, you know, the Bitcoin markets and the fact that they not only like their crash is like kind of a distraction from other more important news stories, but like they are a second market built on top of the other market that is just doing the same shit as the other market. So like this is, people are basically need anything to funnel the energy they should be using towards realizing that our current trajectory is completely unsustainable and dangerous and going to be very deadly for our children and grandchildren. Like they are taking, it's just coming out like all turned around. It's cognitive dissonance at its finest, and it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, I just wish that like the people who like wrote op-eds like didn't write op-eds, you know? I just feel like I feel like the people who should be writing op-eds don't have like the time or money to actually write op-eds, and
right,
that's who we need to hear from. But like they just like don't have the resources, and that's I don't know, it sucks.
Yeah, that's how we get the New York Times op-ed editorial page being like, well, you know, the main problem is cancel culture, and you know, because it's made up of like liberal people who went to Harvard and conservative people who went to Harvard. Like those are the two types of people who work for the New York Times op-ed, I feel like.
It's just like the people, yeah, it's like the people who like have only ever like been the loudest or whatever, just like never listened to anybody, like that's op-ed culture. And it's like
right, we need to cancel op-ed culture, actually, unless we're only uplifting voices of the people at like the lowest rungs of society.
Yeah
like,
because our media is dominated by ideas of like basically like top 2% or culture without realizing it.
Yeah,
every single thing. Like I remember one of the first times as a kid I realized it is seeing the depiction of New York on television so much as a kid, and I live in LA, and I was like, oh, New York sounds cool, so cool. And I visited somebody, like a family friend who lived in New York. Their place was so tiny. I was like, yo, are you poor? What the fuck is this? Because the broke people on TV got nice cribs in New York. Yeah. And that completely fucks up your idea of, you know, like what anything is or is not. And I think, you know, this, it just continues and continues and continues when the takes of that are supposedly like analyses of our current situation are done by people who are so not even near the action.
I mean, movies and often TV shows, like from the like 80s up through fairly recent, like maybe a decade ago, like there was no like financial reality. There was no economic reality. Like economic gravity did not exist. And
most of the time, poor characters were a fucking punchline.
Yeah. They like, you had to make the show about that. Like Roseanne was about
this. Is your place?
Right. Exactly.
You know, like that, you would usually be the reaction of a character, like when seeing someone's like lesser, you know, lifestyle.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's changed?
I feel like there's more. I feel like there's more of it. It's definitely,
there's more working class comedy stuff, I feel, now. Than
right. Yeah. But
I think the majority of people, though, I think would think that everyone in America lives like what you see in Modern Family.
Right. Yeah. I think that's right.
You know, and I think that's how most Democrats, because they are, most politicians, because they're not, you know, at the poorest people they probably know are their college educated staffers. That's sort of like we say, that's where the blind spot begins. And they're like, wait, it's not like on Modern Family? People aren't living like that?
And if they've only lived in that reality.
And many do know, but I think it's just too much for them to consider. Do I actually have a hand in this? No, it can't be. Like, okay, but I'm going to work hard for them despite that. I'm not responsible, but I'll do my best kind of thing. Rather than this is a terrible situation, the least I can do is use my position here to try and bring attention or fight for something better despite this terribly flawed system.
I don't know. Yeah, like the stakes aren't real for them.
Right.
It's like hypothetical.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a hypothetical thing that they would only read in a book by Margaret Atwood.
Right. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Yep. And let's talk arrival time. Everybody's talking about it. this is actually hotly contested in
it is.
My household.
Okay.
My wife likes to be very punctual and, you know, fully admits, she's like, it's just a thing like where I feel like I'm being disrespected if I'm there late at all. I feel disrespectful and like I'm being disrespected if I have to show up there on time. I'm like, this is an attack on me.
Okay. So this is the thing, right? This is one of those things that we always contest. And it also has a lot of cultural nuance too. But is there a perfect time? Are you one of those people who doesn't mind being there first and helping the host out a bit? Are you a minimum 30 type? Because you do absolutely do not want to be there helping anybody set up shit. You want to get there and fucking get down. Well, I think this is something that has been asked constantly, but is there a right answer? Jack, you've said for you, you're not trying to be there punctual. I get that your wife, different upbringing too. Like my mom is very punctual. I'm dealing with Japanese clock time versus Black people time constantly. And I'm pulled in multiple directions based on the thing. Like if it's a thing with my mother, like a family event with my Japanese side of the family, I show up on time.
Yeah.
If it's with my Black family, it's a little, it's like suggested. It's a suggested time.
My wife is Korean and her mom was always late to things, and her like need to be punctual, I think, is a reaction to that, is that she always felt stressed out by that. My parents were pretty punctual. I don't think them being punctual has anything to do with me. I think I just have social anxiety and feel like it's just prolonging the process of my battery being drained and me contributing nothing.
Right. Brian, how about you? Where are you at on this?
I feel like it depends on what it is. Like if it's only one other person at meeting, you got to be within.
Let's call it an event.
Oh, an event?
But that is, yeah.
You can,
that's where
it's an event. You can be 30 to an hour to 2 hours late.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You said 30 to 2 hours?
Well, yeah. It totally depends. Brian, this is my point. This equation in the Atlantic, I mean, I've never seen the Atlantic get anything wrong before, but this equation that like you're allowed to like go through it, you input the variables. None of the variables are how many people are at this event, which is arguably the most important thing, and how long is the event? Like how many hours is the event lasting for?
Let's assume, right, it's like a Friday night party. Because
Brian and I aren't going. So
okay. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay, my bad. A Thursday night turn up. Okay. And Jack, you're in college. Okay.
Okay.
Put yourself there. Because a lot of it is centered around a party, mostly parties, mostly like larger group gatherings. Because the author of it, Joe Pinsker, does, you know, acknowledge like it's different when it's something that abides by clock time, when it's like, you know, a more formal event or something like that, versus getting together with your social group and the varying arrival times that exist within there. Pinsker says that he heard from a friend the 38-minute rule, that 38 minutes late is the perfect window because you're not too early, because you're not there like within 30 minutes, you're just after, but you're not over 40 minutes, so you don't look like a dick. Now, I don't know if that really matters, but for this question, like you're saying, Jack, he enlisted the help of a mathematician to really create some kind of proper formula to understand, you know, because this is a balance of many variables to dial in when is the best time. This is the same mathematician who did intangible equations like the dumper/dumpy differential, I think, for like when John Green was writing a book or something, he helped out with that. So let's go through this. Let's use Brian. I want to use you as an example. You got the active social life.
Yeah.
We will let's punch in these variables into the machine. So the first question to figure out the perfect arrival time is, how punctual are your friends on a scale of 0 to 10? 0 being perpetually behind, 10 being on the dot.
So like on average?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say 7.
A 7. Okay. Okay. Pretty punctual. Okay. Next question. How confident are you about your friend's punctuality? 0, not at all, and 10 being completely.
4.
4. Okay. Next question. Do you expect that everyone will show up around the same time? 0 is not at all, 10 being definitely.
I would go 8.
8. Wow. Okay. Wow. Interesting. Okay. See, this is good information. 4. How awkward is it to be too early for you? 0, you don't mind at all. 10, it's unbearable.
I'll go 5.
5. Okay. Okay. Next one, how uncomfortable is it to be too late? Again, 0 being not at all, 10 being extremely uncomfortable.
0.
Oh, you're going to get a good, the formula is going to bless you, I'm sure. Next one, how excited are you about this party? 0 being not at all and 10 being extremely.
Just any party?
Let's just say, let's map this onto a hypothetical event that you would normally be going to. Or
I would say 7. If I'm going, 7? Okay. I'm usually pretty excited, so let's say 7.
Okay. Typically when you arrive at a party, how much earlier or later are you than you intended? By minutes.
30 minutes later.
30. Okay, ready to calculate?
Yes.
Your perfect arrival time is 58 minutes after the party begins.
That is my ideal arrival time, but I'm usually 30 minutes after my ideal arrival time.
Yo, so it gave me 90 minutes late. It told me to show up 90. Like they were basically like, yo, you might as well not even go. Like,
is it because did you put super uncomfortable by showing up early?
I don't think I put it like super uncomfortable. Okay. I think I was like I was within a couple of Brian on most of these.
Okay.
They were just like, yo, like, look, you're not bringing much to the table. Like, I don't know what you're even doing going to this party. But the thing, so I had a friend's birthday dinner. It was 8 people. It was at someone's house that is notoriously like shows up hours late to things. So
the hosts were notorious.
The hosts are notoriously.
That's a tricky one.
That's a tricky one.
I already know how this ends.
We also got the time wrong with our babysitter. So we showed up like 45 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the scene in Meet the Parents when he wakes up and everyone's already like 2 hours into their day and just being look who decided to join us. Well, sleepyhead. And, you know, just like. And,
all right, like, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah. Half the comments were about us being late for like 15 minutes. That's in my mind. It probably was like a couple comments, but it was really a thing that like we were super late. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, if I
had a kid, I would be 5 hours late to everything.
But they all have kids except for like one person. So
damn,
that was the fucked up
now
thing.
Fuck that. I would have been like, yo, first of all, don't even hit me with that because you straight disrespect every start time of every other fucking event. And now suddenly I'm supposed to be on the fucking dot. No. Please tell me how that works.
Also, what was the food?
It was really good.
I would ask that.
The food was like major domo. They had catering, the thing. It was dope.
It was catering?
Damn.
Yeah. It was catering.
Major domo cater? God.
Yeah.
Damn.
I know.
I want a David Chang catered event.
I know. David Chang was not there, but the food was on point. Really good. I felt disrespected, and now I'm, and you know, my wife still talks about like things that we were late for, like, you know, 5 years ago. So this is like the next time we have a thing to go to, we are going to be in the nearest parking lot, just like looking at our watches until the hour strikes midnight. And then we're like ringing the doorbell. Like
It sucks when you're like actually early for something, but you're like, I don't want to be 10, 15 minutes early. So then you like try to kill time. And then that makes you like 30 minutes late. And you're like, what happened? How did that happen?
Because, man, waiting like 15, when you 15 minutes early, that is such a horrifying time period. We're like, that shit might as well be an hour. Like, I'm not just going to stand still and just put my life on pause and then reanimate when it's time to go. Like, I would do the same thing, Brian. I'm like, fuck it, man. I'm going to walk 3 miles real quick.
Yeah.
And then by the time I come back, it'll be fucking, like you say, 90 minutes later. I'm like, fuck.
But also, if we have people over, 15 minutes, the 15 minutes before they're set to arrive is like the time where we are like, you know, stuffing things in closets, like burying things in the backyard, you know, like we got a lot of shit to do right
exposing,
before people arrive. Yeah.
Closing the bodies.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's like the early feels like unacceptable. Like on time feels like early to me personally, but I was wrong.
Yeah,
in this recent case. But I think, I think the reason I was wrong is because it was so few people and it was dinner. It was not like an open ended party, you know.
Right. Dinner things are a little bit tough because like there is an intent to eat at a certain time.
Yeah,
but a party is too open ended.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Like, and also, I'm more mad that the people who are always late suddenly, like, they set the fucking tone.
They weren't the ones who were like, oh wow, it was more, you know, the birthday
boy.
Well,
see, they're projecting their frustration at the hosts onto you. That's what I see. It's all subconscious.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jack. I would have been your lawyer. I'm like, why don't you shut up, man? They're doing the fucking best they can. And first of all, the whole vibe of this house is that lateness is okay. That's like coming to my house and I'm like, are you smoking weed in my house? And you're like, oh, I just figured because of who the fuck you are, this was okay.
Also, when your friend stops drinking, give them a license to be a little bit late to a party. I think people are often like excited to turn up and they show up like right on time. That's usually the people who are there right on time. They're like, when's the bar open? Right, when do we start drinking? Oh. Your friend, they give them a little leeway.
Yeah. Especially when you stop drinking and stuff, that the environment can be very tense.
Yeah. I need you to have a couple drinks before I show up. That's where I'm at.
Please.
One time I showed up to a restaurant late, like all my friends, it was like three of my friends. They were ready to get the check. And then I showed up and then I like ordered a full meal.
That's that's baller move, man. That's
one of them did leave. One of them did leave. Oh. The other two stayed.
Stood by. Okay. Those are friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, this was a test. And you two just passed.
There you go.
Brian, such a pleasure having you, as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can follow me on social at Brian, B-R-I-A-N underscore B-A-H-E on all platforms. And I'll be in L.A. Sunday, May 22nd at the Elysian Theater, 7 p.m. Please come if you're in California.
Yeah.
Anywhere in California.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
No excuse.
Is it a solo show?
Solo show, doing stand up, gonna maybe do a song or two.
Oh, wow.
Just kidding. It'd be cool, right?
Yeah. I thought, shit. In my mind, you have like a euphonium or some other very like esoteric instrument that you play, but
I don't even know what that is. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, I tried to find it. I think the guy deleted it, but it was pretty viral for a while. It was just a screen cap of like a Grindr exchange. Luckily, I did screen cap it myself.
There it is.
should I read it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the other guy, these are two people who don't really, I don't know. All right, so one's like, man, I don't know why you're playing me. The other guy's like, because you won't send a face pic, LOL. And then the guy responds, I will, I don't know. And then he says, I'm mask, Latino, bearded, gordito, handsome, and I want to give you head. And then it's just like, and then he replies to himself, I'll leave you alone though, I get the no pic thing. And then like 20 minutes go by and he replies to himself, you're not even going to fight for me? I'm like, that's my energy. I related to that.
You're not even gonna fight. Wow, so this is over before it started. Seriously unfair.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Obviously, you already know about Miles and Jack got Mad Boosties, the basketball podcast. Stay tuned. Possibly a legendary guest. We won't tell you until it is committed and in the can.
All our guests are legendary.
Yeah. But this one is this one's gonna bring tears to my eyes, possibly. But then also check out 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. We talk 90 Day Fiance. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Alex Murdoch at Alex G. Murd tweeted, I've started reading before bed instead of scrolling Twitter. And not only am I sleeping really well, but I also think I'm better than everyone. okay, that tracks. And then Caleb Heron at Caleb Says Things tweeted, if I was a rapper, you wouldn't be allowed to come on my track and do something culture shifting. Save that for your album, sweetie. On my thing, you can just clock in and sort of be cute with it. I will not be witnessing any Nicki Minaj on Monster activity in my booth on this day.
That's great. That is something. Kanye was always very generous with like letting people just body him on his own track.
I don't think those are registering.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yeah, she killed it.
Might help that he like just thinks everything he does is so good that he doesn't notice when he's being bodied. Right. tweet I've been enjoying. Brooks Otterlake tweeted, group of drunk Boston guys yelling, go home, Avatar, at a Navi. go home, Avatar.
Go home, Avatar.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles.
Come on.
I say as if I'm a parent mad at you.
You already know.
Which one, though? I'm very curious.
I honestly, listen to the whole album.
All right.
Listen to the whole album. Listen to the whole fucking Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers album. It's one of those things. It's so dense.
It's a dense.
You're not going to get that shit on one listen.
Yeah.
It's like, and for people who already have come to conclusions about the album within 24 hours, wow. Your listening comprehension skills are fantastic. But mine
hasn't even been 24 hours.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, at this point, by the time you're hearing it, it's been many hours. So listen to that album or whatever you want. But honestly, the very first, I don't even know. There's so much to unpack here. But I'll say, look, start off with United in Grief. It's the first track on the album. Mm. Just to give your sense, some sense of the artistry on this one.
Yeah. There's some really like pretty songs on it too. Like,
yeah.
There's always like that one track where it's like very pretty and
yeah,
always takes me a little bit by surprise, not because Kendrick's not a great musician, but because it's just like, damn, that is like the prettiest song I've heard all year. All right, go listen to that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you then. Go home, Avatar!
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.